Good morning. Thank you for reading the scripture from the book of James, which is, I'm hearing from our congregation, several have said this is my favorite book, and it has such wonderful teachings. We're going to be looking at some of those today. In particular, we're going to be looking at the faith and action today in today's message. What does it mean to not only say with words, but also to follow it up with deeds? That's what James is encouraging us to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open our hearts and minds to what this word is saying to us today. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for opening the words of your scripture, the book of James. And we hear this message that we just heard read, that faith without works is dead. Stir within us what this means. Help us to see in our own life what this means. And help us all to go forth today, putting our faith into action. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is a time to reflect for me. It's the beginning of a fifth year at Shalimar in our conference cycle, and been thinking about the first 7 years in ministry before I met Karen. She was, I had been a pastor for about 7 years as a single man, and I just had my routine. I did things a certain way. When I preached a sermon, I just went home and did what I wanted to do. And so when I came to Shalimar in 1983, a year or two later, I met Karen, and we got married, and that all changed. I would preach a sermon, and a couple of months into the marriage, she said, I need to talk to you, because I think one of the things you said in the sermon, you don't always do that with what I see. And she was right. She was right. It's good to have someone around you lovingly that can be a critic and say, you know, I'm not sure you are following up with actions what you have spoken in words. And that's what we're getting at today. And by the way, in the tradition of early Methodists, the pastor's wife, there's a story of that Karen's grandmother tells that when the pastor's wife wanted to criticize her husband's sermon, she would prepare a pie for dinner, for lunch that day. And so when the pie came, you knew that there was a conversation that needed to be had. I am so grateful those days are over. Not really. I just don't hear it through pies. Words and actions, we need to put them together. That's the message today. If we say it, we need to follow it up, because we confuse people when we say one thing. You know, when we say one thing and we do another, that's hypocrisy, and that confuses people. And when we say something and then we do nothing, that's what James is getting at here. And that really confuses people, and even worse, it frustrates people. And might even be a witness in such a way that people decide they don't want to be a part of what you're a part of, because you say something, but you don't ever do anything about it. I've been reading a book by David Marquette called Turning the Ship Around. It's the story of a Navy captain who prepared all of his life in school and training to be the captain of a submarine. And he looked forward to the day that he would be commander of a submarine for the very first time. And he thought he was going to be assigned to this submarine that was a winning submarine, that had so many good features about it, a wonderful crew. But 2 weeks prior to fulfilling his dream, the word came down that he was going to be commander of the Santa Fe, which was a submarine that was in poor morale, and it was considered to be a disaster among the Navy. So David Marquette in about a 2-week period, he had to push aside everything he had learned, everything he had prepared for, and he had to look at this new challenge in a different way. So he decided, instead of being a top-down commander, he would go to the people on the submarine that knew what to do in their particular area of responsibility. And he would empower them, and he would challenge them to do what they already knew to do. And when they would tell him what needs to be done, he would commend them and say, "Well, go do it." He embraced them. He empowered them. And something started changing in the Santa Fe. With the crew being empowered, they did more. The morale picked up. And it was a transformation. And the Santa Fe became one of the leading submarines. In fact, many of his crew went on to be captains. And so, it was quite a transformation story. I believe we in the church have that same capability to empower one another and say, "You see a need. You see how we can be Christ's hands and feet in the world. What do you think?" And if you say, "I think this need needs to be met," empower. Say, "Go do it." And I see that as healthy for a church. That we just empower one another when we see the obvious needs around us, when we see people that need our help, when we see the needs that are glaring in front of us, we are nimble, we are simple, and we seek to meet that need. We don't overthink it. We don't talk ourselves out of it. We don't get overly theological about it. But we move forward swiftly, nimbly, to meet that need. I believe that's what James is getting at here. Some of the other teachings in this second chapter, just to lift up, there's so many gems in his teaching. One of the gems is that we're not to show favoritism. That when it comes to meeting needs, we're not just to help those that can help us in return. Jesus said that's no different than the hypocrites, to love those that love us in return. But when we do not show favoritism, wonderful things begin to happen. We treat everybody the same. Now, there is some favoritism in the church, I admit it. There are folks that like to sit in certain spots each week. And the back pews, they tend to fill up faster than the front pews. Look at these. Well, the children were there moments ago. That's not fair. But it seems like those back seats are the preferred seats by so many. And nothing wrong with that, unless you tell somebody that they're in your seat and you ask them to move. Now, that's going too far. But really, in the church, we're the only institution in which being a member a long time, being a Christian a long time, you know what that means? It means we serve more. We means we give up the prime spots. It means we are thinking about how can we serve, how can we meet needs all the more. So it's a different mindset. There are no VIPs in the church. Our culture relates this way. VIPs go one way and everybody else over here. But in the church, we do not try to treat people like everybody else or VIPs, but everyone is to be a part of this body called the church. And James gets at the heart of this when he says, do not show favoritism. Favoritism, think about your family. When you show favoritism to one child over the other, it never goes without incident, does it? Favoritism, James says, do not show it. Treat everybody the same. Everyone is welcome. A second teaching that he does is close, is love your neighbor as yourself. Following up Jesus' golden rule, love each other, love your neighbor as yourself. If we can think about what other people are going through and try to understand them better, then we'll be more understood. But we begin by seeking to understand what it means to walk in another person's shoes. What is it in their life we don't even know about that is significant as we seek to love them? What is there in a person's life that changes as we reach out and love them as our neighbor, as we treat them with love and respect? My daughter's church in Cincinnati that she's gone up to help launch, she is in music and worship leadership, and our worship and leadership team today did a great job, and she's doing that in the new church setting. And their simple mission is to love God and love people. They've got it down to four words: love God, love people. That's pretty good, isn't it? Love God and love people. And that's what James is getting at here. Love God and love people. He also says this about our relationships with others. He says that mercy trumps judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If we can show mercy to others, we'll see different relationships. We like mercy shown to us for our intentions. We like to judge others for their actions. But what would the world be like if we all extended this mercy and this grace of Jesus Christ to the world? And we became doers of this. We really extended this grace to other people. We extended this same grace that we want to others. Cape Coral United Methodist Church, or rather Grace United Methodist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, they try to live into their name, Grace United Methodist Church. George Acevedo is the pastor. And in their commentary about their mission, they say that grace is needed everywhere in their church life, in their community life. Grace is needed everywhere. If something comes up, you just quickly say, grace is needed there when something comes up. And when something comes up you don't expect, you just immediately say, grace is needed now. Grace is needed there. Grace is needed now. Grace is needed wherever. Grace is just needed. And there's no end to what grace can do as we extend the grace of Christ to one another. It changes relationships. And we need more mercy. Instead of the harsh judgment we're quick to make, we need more mercy. That's what James is teaching us. It triumphs over judgment. The hallmark teaching in this passage or this chapter, though, is this word: faith without deeds is dead. Now, hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another. Faith without works is just dead. How many people stopped being involved in the church when they did not see the action behind the words? How many people in our path have we not related to because we said one thing and then we didn't follow through? We didn't put our faith into action. It's one of the greatest needs of the church, not just Shalimar, but the church universal today, is to not only take these teachings of Jesus and learn them and believe them, but to put them into action. Like our Cuba mission team is doing even now, putting our faith into action. I saw this illustrated in the strangest way a couple of weeks ago. I was driving around in the country. I was hungry. And I was a long way from a Tom Thumb store. So I didn't know what I would do. I just thought, well, I've got another half hour, 45 minutes before I get back into civilization. What will I do? Well, I started seeing these signs. Peaches, 4 miles. Oh, I'd love to have a peach now. 3.5 miles. Peanuts. Then another half mile or so, pecans. Then tomatoes. And then corn. And then about a mile away, butter beans. All these wonderful signs. And I was thinking, oh, I am so ready to get to this place. They have pulled me right in. I want to pull right in there. So then I got to that sign that said, you're almost there. And I was so anticipating what was about to happen. And then I got to the one final sign that said, slow down, next right. But you know what happened when I got there and pulled in? I saw this. That was one of the biggest disappointments of my life. I just couldn't believe those constant words I was getting, just ahead, just ahead, just ahead. And then when I got there, it just left me flat. You know, I would imagine that's what happens when we talk a good game about Jesus' teachings, but we don't do anything with those teachings to make a difference in our world. We leave the world flat. James is challenging us to put this good word of Jesus into action. When we can help those who need our help with assistance, when we can help the poor, when we can help the marginalized, we should do it. And we should do it quickly to put our faith into action. So this is the cornerstone teaching of this second chapter, and it's also a cornerstone teaching of the whole book of James, that faith without works is dead. One other word that we need not miss is that James reminds us that belief is not enough. We may think that it all comes down to the words we say or the beliefs we have, but James reminds us of something sobering. The demons, even they believe. Even the demons can use the right words. But what the demons cannot do or will not do is to put those words into action. This is our challenge today, to hear the word, not only be hearers of the word, as Jesus says, but doers of the word as well. Amen.